It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. So, as I've mentioned before, I have another job besides this one. I'm a parent. And as anyone who is a parent or has a parent knows, playing hooky is not an option, as much as you might like to.
I had a day. I was super stressed out. I hadn't slept. I was thinking about a million things at work. It was Sunday night. I mean, I don't know any parent who's like at their best on Sunday night.
This is Becky Kennedy. She's a clinical psychologist and a mother of three. That night, she was in the kitchen. It was time for dinner.
And my son walked into the kitchen. He looks at the table and he's like, "Ugh, chicken. Disgusting." Literally like that, you know?
I'm dying inside because substitute many different meals into that sentence and you're at my dinner table with my daughter.
Right, exactly. So I did what any normal parent would do, which did not include a deep breath. Thank you very much. I freaked out at him. I was like, "What is wrong with you? You don't appreciate anything I do." Did I call him a spoiled brat? Did I? I was scary. I was reactive. I mean, the way I look at it now, my bucket of not getting my own needs met, my bucket of stress was at its max. And all it took was my son dropping one drop in there for the entire thing to overflow.
You gave it right back to him harder and faster because you're an adult.
Yes.
And was he like, "Oh, mom's having a tough night"?
No, he was not like that. He, you know, he ran to his room and slammed his door. Mm. And now he's alone in his room and I'm alone in the kitchen.
What was going through your mind?
I felt like I was in an abyss. You know, going down, down, down. What is wrong with me?
Why did I yell at my son?
I wish I could take that moment back and I can't take that moment back. And then also, like, what is wrong with my son? He's so ungrateful, and he made me yell, and, no one makes me yell, Becky. You know, and then, if anyone ever saw that this is the way you actually talk to your kid, they wouldn't even believe it. And it felt like, in that moment, time, like, stood still.
The most important bonds in our lives are often the most fragile. When we argue or don't own up to our mistakes, we can make our loved ones and ourselves miserable. And so today on the show, relationship repair. When communication breaks down, how to fix things between us and our family, our planet, and even our mortality. For Becky Kennedy, that moment in her kitchen when she lost her cool, well, she also knew what could make the situation better. Because she's not just a mom, she's Dr. Becky. You may have heard of her.
Hi, I'm Dr. Becky Kennedy, and I'm the creator of the Good Inside Approach.
As part of her mini media empire, she gives parenting advice to millions of millennial moms and dads on social media.
And big picture, I'm looking to be a parent's co-pilot for their entire parenting journey.
Her approach is less punish and reward, like with timeouts or sticker charts.
I promise you it leads to more bad behavior because our kids never learn new skills. Okay.
And more of the positive reinforcement and no judgment style often found in therapy.
Being a sturdy leader in any of your relationships with your kids, with your partner, with your friends.
This translates into parents examining and accepting their own emotions first, and then validating their child's.
Yes, it is about validating and seeing kids' feelings as real, but that goes side by side with having real, firm boundaries. You then are able to create the conditions for kids to thrive.
It's a method that can be hard to deploy right when your child is driving you nuts and you just yelled at them.
Well, if you're a parent, you've probably felt that pain.
Becky Kennedy continues from the TED stage.
For me, it comes with an extra layer of shame. I mean, my specialty is helping people become better parents. And yet, this is true as well. There is no such thing as a perfect parent. Mistakes and struggles, they come with the job.
but no one tells us what to do next. Do we just move on? Kind of just pretend the whole thing never happened? Or if I say something, what are the words? Well, I'm determined to fill this gap. Whenever a parent asks me, what one parenting strategy should I focus on? I always say the same thing. Get good at repair.
You say get good at repair. So, like, what does repair mean to you?
Repair is really the act of going back to a moment that didn't feel good, taking responsibility, reconnecting, and making a plan for going forward. You know, kind of change the ending of a story.
Hmm.
It's not the yelling that messes up a kid. It's the lack of repair after the yelling that messes up a kid.
So let's get back to my example. Here are the facts. My son is alone, overwhelmed, and in a state of distress because, let's face it, his mom just became scary mom. And now he has to figure out a way to get back to feeling safe and secure. And if I don't go help him do that through making a repair, he has to rely on one of the only coping mechanisms he has at his own disposal, self-blame. Self-blame sounds like this. Something's wrong with me. I'm unlovable. I make bad things happen. And while self-blame works for us in childhood, we all know it works against us in adulthood. These are the core fears of so many adults. But really, we see here, they are actually the childhood stories we wrote when we were left alone following distressing events that went unrepaired.
This relates to trauma in general, right? People always ask me, is this traumatic? Is it traumatic that I yelled? Is it traumatic that my kids saw us fight? Whatever the thing is. Trauma isn't an event. Trauma refers to the way an event gets processed in the body. And really, trauma refers to an event stored in aloneness rather than within a safe connection, in this case, with an adult. And so the power of repair really changes our focus from the event or the behavior of, let's say, the yelling to, okay, what can I do next to actually change the way that memory will live in my child's body?
Damaging your child forever. It's many parents' biggest fear. But for every mistake, Dr. Becky has a process to fix it.
Step one is rupture. Check that off. I crushed it.
Step two, a quick apology won't cut it.
That sounds like this. Hey, listen, I'm really sorry I yelled. I mean, look, if you didn't complain about dinner, it wouldn't have happened, but I'm sorry. That is not a repair. That doesn't count.
But it is probably what you were thinking inside, though, a little bit, right?
You know, the idea that my son made me yell at him, it's just the most powerless version of adulthood.
Mm.
People don't make us behave in certain ways. I was triggered in that moment. And my trigger had to do with so many things, of which my son was like a tiny part.
So yes, your child will provoke you. But before you address that behavior, you need to take step three.
Repairing with yourself. That really, really matters, even though it sounds kind of cheesy. And even if my son says the worst thing to me, it's definitely outside of my value system to yell at my young child. So for me, that is a behavior out of line with my own values. We all have them. And often what stops us from repairing is actually that we feel intense shame about the behavior we would repair for. And we literally then can't even face it enough to name it and repair because we're trying so hard to avoid that reality.
Okay, so it's really like giving yourself a timeout and making a clear distinction between the bad thing you did versus who you actually are as a person.
Yes. I'm a good parent who is having a hard time.
Mm.
That is very different than I am a bad person who does bad things. And so reminding myself of that, it really took probably the 9th or 10th time for me to feel a tiny release in my body you know, and I was no longer an abyss, maybe just a hole, but a hole is a lot better than an abyss. It's a significant upgrade, I assure you. Right. And then like, it was like, I kind of was raising enough to kind of get grounded again. And only from that place can we repair with someone else.
Now we're ready for the actual repair.
And to me, there's some very basic steps of repairing with someone else. It's just name what happened, take responsibility for your behavior, and state what you would do differently the next time. Hey, listen, I yelled at you earlier. I'm sure that felt scary. And this might seem controversial, but I said this. It's never your fault when I yell. Look, I was frustrated, and I'm working on managing my frustration so it doesn't come out in that way. That's not okay. And because I had repaired with myself and got to feeling like, okay, there is goodness inside me separate from this moment, I wasn't unconsciously looking for him to validate that. Mm-hmm. So even though he was kind of quiet in the moment, like I didn't have to say to him, so it's okay, right? So you forgive me, right? Which we were really saying to someone, please do the work that I could internally be doing for myself for me.
Yeah. Why did you say that it's controversial that you told him that when you yell, it's never his fault?
Well, I think, you know, it's easy to say on the surface, but like it was his fault. Had he not said that, you wouldn't have yelled. Again, I think that's, you know, a very powerless way to view ourselves as adults. But separately, I can't imagine any of us want the next generation to think that other people are at fault for our bad behavior and our kind of reactive moments, right? And how we explain our emotional outbursts has a massive impact on how our kids think about their own. I know a million adults are like, when does my kid take responsibility and have accountability? And I think we a little bit have to look in the mirror and say, like, am I doing that? I'm the adult here. I want my 7-year-old to take responsibility for their behavior. But when I yell at my kid, do I model accountability? Do I model responsibility? Right. So I think that really matters.
In a minute, applying Dr. Becky's approach to repairing the relationship between a parent and their adult child. She says it's never too late. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. We'll be right back. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. On the show today, relationship repair. We were just talking to clinical psychologist and parenting expert Becky Kennedy, who also just goes by Dr. Becky to her millions of followers on social media. She was telling us about a moment when she felt like a bad parent herself.
Let's go back to that moment. So my son is in his room. I'm in the kitchen. I finally caught myself from the abyss. And my son, if I don't repair, he has to explain the event to himself. He has to do that so he can get back to feeling safe. And so what happens when I go repair? First of all, I say, I yelled at you earlier. And that probably felt scary. So the first thing my son can say to himself is, I was right about that.
Hmm.
And then I take responsibility, right? It's never okay to yell. And I'm really working on managing my feelings so they don't come out in that way. And then what my kid can say to themselves, it's not my fault when people around me act out.
Right, right.
That is not a reflection of my worth or my goodness. That is a reflection of a struggle they are having. And that matters. That really matters down the line. A 15-second intervention can have a lifelong impact. I've replaced my child's story of self-blame with a story of self-trust and safety and connection. I mean, what a massive upgrade. What might the impact be? What might that look like in adulthood? My adult child won't spiral in self-blame when they make a mistake and won't take on blame for someone else's mistake. My adult child will know how to take responsibility for their behavior because you've modeled how to take responsibility for yours. Repairing with a child today sets the stage for these critical adult relationship patterns. Plus, it gets better. Now that I've reconnected with my son, I can do something really impactful. I can teach him
a skill he didn't have in the first place, which is how kids actually change their behavior.
Okay, so you're not going to let it slide because your son was quite rude, ungrateful for dinner. So after you acknowledge your role with the yelling, how do you go back and correct that behavior?
Right. It's like, okay, but he did say this thing to you. Like, it's just okay. It's not that it's just okay. As adults, right, anyone, you can only take responsibility for your own behavior. And when you do, you actually make room for someone else to take responsibility for theirs.
Mm.
There are many times I repair with my kids, and they will say, yeah, I could have said that in a different way. Not right in the moment, but a few minutes later.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? Like, it really does happen. But let's say it doesn't, because I'm a pragmatist. Sometimes it doesn't. Let's be real. So I always tell parents, wait 24 hours after your repair. You could say something like this to your kid. Hey, you know what I'm thinking about? Like, sometimes when I make dinner, you're going to like it. And sometimes you're not. And there's just so many ways you can tell someone that you're not loving the food you have. And I just know we can think of better ways than disgusting. You know, I wonder if you can even think of another way you can say that.
Mm.
I actually did say that to my son. And he literally said to me to my face, he goes, could I say not my favorite?
Ooh.
And I was like, you know what? Yeah.
Good one.
Totally. Or maybe it's a different situation where I say, look, you know, yesterday, maybe internally, I know I apologize for freaking out at my kids in the morning. And then 24 hours later, I say, you know what I'm thinking about? Mornings have just been chaotic. And like, I'm working on staying calm. But I'm also just thinking you and I are really on the same team here.
Yeah.
Like, we both want mornings to be smoother.
Why is that reframing important?
Yes. So what I always say, like, there's two ways of talking to anybody when you're in conflict. You're either on one side of the table and you're looking at them as the problem, or we're on the same side of the table and together we are gazing at the other side of the table at the problem.
Mm.
It's either me against you, you're the problem, or me and you against a problem. And until we're in the second framework, we should literally never talk to anybody about any conflict. So when I say to my son, let's say, hey, I'm sure you don't want the mornings to feel like that either. Let's come up with some ideas that can make the mornings a little smoother and probably more fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden we can brainstorm, let's play this song, or I make a visual chart, or, you know, we have a little race in the morning, right? And then now instead of saying to my kid, you know, listen, if you just put your shoes on, you wouldn't get yelled at. I have repaired, which means I've set the stage for my kid to have confidence and positive self-talk and not engage in self-blame and self-doubt. Plus, in a very practical way, we are literally now able to make the mornings better because we've reconnected. Like, everybody wins.
You're talking about being very vulnerable as a parent in front of your child, which to me, I'm Gen X, and I just feel like parents weren't like that. You know, why do you do it? Because I'm the parent. I'm the dad. I say so. There wasn't this vulnerability of saying I'm having a bad day or I shouldn't have responded that way. Nobody talked that way. So what it felt like. And I think you're introducing a whole different vernacular when it comes to relationships between parents and their kids.
Yeah, you know, and so I have a couple of reactions to that, you know. So one, anytime we do something new, especially cycle breaking, you know, like I'm the first person to talk about feelings in my family, it feels deeply uncomfortable. And I think we all misinterpret discomfort as a sign that we're doing something wrong, when really it's a sign that we're doing something new.
Hmm.
So that's one thing. But the other thing, interesting, my reaction to hearing you say vulnerable, when you're like hearing a parent say to a kid, like, hey, I was having a hard time, or I'm sorry for yelling. It feels to me, I guess the word vulnerable doesn't come to mind as much as it's going to sound so simple, but it's just true. I feel like it's just stating what's true, you know, and we don't tell the truth all the time. We avoid the truth, or we say some version that's really, we don't even believe inside of ourselves. There's a million ways to tell the truth. I'm certainly not saying, hey, I'm sorry I yelled at you, to my six-year-old son, and then saying, like, let me tell you the story of my childhood and all my triggers. Like, I'm not trying to say that. But sharing a version of the truth that allows us to speak in a way or act in a way that feels in line with what, like, feels right inside of us. I think that's what has caught fire to parents. That's what makes people say, you're saying things that, like, I inherently always felt. Like, it's always felt like this. I just maybe didn't have the exact tools or script or strategy to live it with my kids or in my life. But it feels true and it feels right.
So here's the point where you might have a lingering concern. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I have a feeling my kid's older than your kid. I think it's too late. Or I've done a lot worse than you did in the kitchen. Maybe it's too late. Well, I mean this. If you have only one takeaway from this talk, please let this be it. It is not too late. It is never too late. How do I know? Well, imagine right after this, you get a call from one of your parents. And if neither of your parents are alive, imagine finding and opening a letter you hadn't seen till that moment. Okay, walk through this with me. Here's the call.
Hi, I was listening to this podcast. And, you know, it made me think that there were probably a bunch of moments in your childhood that felt bad to you. And you were right to feel that way. And those moments were way more about me and something I was struggling with than anything about you. And I don't know exactly where we go from here. And I don't expect this to take away all the conflict we've had. But if you ever want to talk to me about any of those moments, I will listen.
I won't listen to have a rebuttal.
I won't listen to prove or refute.
I'll listen to understand. I love you. I don't know many adults who don't have a fairly visceral reaction to that exercise. I often hear, why am I crying? Or, listen, that wouldn't change everything. But it might change some things. So if that imagined exercise had an impact on you, imagine the impact an actual repair will have on your child. See, I told you, it's never too late.
That's Becky Kennedy. She's a clinical psychologist and the founder of Good Inside, a book and website for parents. You can see her full talk at TED.com.